Welcome back to episode 44 of A People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast. I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, author of A People's Guide to Publishing, founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the marketing and editorial director here at Microcosm. And recently, while filling out tax forms, I gave myself the title of vice president. So maybe I should introduce myself that way.
You could become vice president of marketing if you're nice to the CEO.
I see it as like vice president of filling out paperwork nobody else wants to do.
Oh, is that a specific kind of punishment.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
not just anyone can handle that.
Be careful, viewers, that you do not receive an equal or greater punishment.
It's not worth the title, trust me.
This week, we will be discussing, while Ellie drinks her tea, our annual reports and what we've learned.
This one's all you. No, just kidding.
You didn't learn anything. Man, rough year.
So every year for the last decade or so, Microcosm has put out an annual report detailing some pretty intimate details about our financial situation that most publishers don't want you to know.
Not photos, if that's what you're thinking. More like numbers.
Graphs.
And, yes, very graphic.
Sometimes material.
And we show you exactly what we did and how we did it in numbers.
We tell you how much we spent, how much we earned, what we spent that money on, what books earned that money and in what format. This episode and the last two are all about busting up money shame and publishing. I love it.
I don't know. As a Gen X person of yore, I have overcome my money shame, and now I just have weird feelings about, you know, I just want to keep all the money flowing to everyone else and not accumulated. But I guess that's a different kind of money shame.
Well, I mean, I guess it helps to frame our talk about money to say that Microcosm is technically a for-profit corporation. We're an LLC, but written into our bylaws, we do not keep our profits. Like, the owners don't, you know, we don't buy ourselves a yacht.
All of the profits are distributed to the staff in the form of wages and bonuses. Even owner staff do not get extra compensation.
Which
is what Ellie's trying to say.
Yes. It's true. We were able to give a lot of raises this year.
And a bonus.
Yeah, that was, I would say, the highlight of the year in money for me. I mean, let's start with the basics, though. So mm-hmm. This 2019 was the first year that we went back to being independently distributed.
Yes.
Starting January 1st.
And how did that go? I don't remember.
Well, you know, I remember there were some numbers thrown around in that annual report. We grew.
Mm-hmm.
How much did we grow?
55.77%.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder I feel so tired.
Mm-hmm. 2018 had previously been our best year ever. That means that not only was 2019 our best year ever, it was more than 50% better than our previous best year ever. Which is, yes, rather exhausting, because we did not add 50% more staff. We added two more staff. We, like, reorganized job positions and put people into different kind of responsibilities to make things more streamlined. And that did really work. But, yes, it is, on average, people are doing more. So, fortunately, they're also making more money.
Often we were hiring a new person, so that isn't like we were, like, having great increases in pay. But this year, we had some shifts in staff and duties, but we stayed with the same number of staff people overall at the end of the day, and we did increase wages by
38.94%, so almost 40% wage increases, which is pretty wild.
And I have to say, the way Portland is growing and prices are going, that has made a difference.
Right, and it's... And so the other thing is, so we still have this 15% cushion, so once we resolve inventory costs and things like that, we will probably be able to give people another 20%. Well, actually, we're gunning for a 19% raise this year, but obviously last year we did a lot better than we expected, so we actually gave a lot more raises than we expected. Because that's how that works. We don't want to go overboard in hiring people or giving raises, because obviously then that has negative consequences when you have to cut back. We try to be a little bit cautious in making those kind of decisions, and that has served us really well in terms of streamlining and, you know, waiting not until it's too late, but until it is definitely time to add another person.
So, like, what changed from last year in terms of, like, not just which books, but what kinds of things produce?
Yes, which books
increase?
Were very popular. The biggest notable change and is probably that, you know, we left our former distributor, Publishers Group West, and that, you know, we paid them a certain amount of money each year. You know, I don't think I'm allowed to tell you what our contract was, but I can tell you that a standard contract with a distributor is 27% of invoice. That seems to be the average. And so we may or may not have paid less than that. But the biggest factor is that we grew the accounts that they were handling. We hired different salespeople. We hired different, you know, we had in-house people that handled some accounts that they were handling, and we grew the accounts in those sectors by hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is pretty wild. You know.
Is that mostly bookstores, or are there other?
It's partly bookstores, but it's also wholesalers mm-hmm. that probably are selling to bookstores, and but we don't have that transparency, so we don't know for sure. Library sales were way up, mm-hmm. and then specialty stores and gift stores were way up, but kind of everything was way up was the confusing part, other than, you know, certain specific things, like poster sales were not up, you know, but in general, all kinds of customer categories were up, so that has been really fascinating to look at the numbers that way.
And what do you attribute that to generally, other than our change in distribution?
I was asked the same question by the president of publisher acquisitions at our former distributor when I ran into him by chance at a regional trade show. And to me, it's really just like being closer to the customers, being more familiar with our own books. You know, our salespeople don't have to sell 6,000 new titles every season. They sell 20 new titles every season, you know, and then they passively sell our distribution catalog on top of that, which, speaking of, our distribution catalog has also gone way up in terms of sales, which has really, really forced us to dial in our inventory management and figuring out what to buy, when to order it, how many copies to order. And I tell you, you keep learning things. 24 years in, I learned so much new stuff this year, and I feel like it made me such a better publisher.
Just wait for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The lessons it brings.
Oh, yeah.
We'll keep you posted.
And so the problem is that if we keep growing at this rate, we will need to add another warehouse. We will need to add more people packing and shipping. We will need to add more people doing customer service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, these are really great problems to have, but that is sort of where we're at right now.
What do you prognosticate for 2020 for our finances?
I think that we will grow about 35% year over year, because I think obviously you can only leave your distributor once, or unless you keep going back, but then you're just not learning about your relationship.
Talk about needing a vice president for unnecessary paperwork.
If we get the right set of gift reps, we could increase more than 100%. We can increase 1,000% based on all the numbers that I've seen. So, you know, that won't happen in a year. That'll take time. But it's also at the rate that the field bookstore sales reps are growing, we would grow, like, they are doubling almost every quarter. So at this rate, you know, we would go up, you know, 300% in the field next year. You know, so that's pretty wild, because it'll eventually start to taper off. But then we'll publish more awesome books, and then they'll have more to sell.
What are you most excited about?
I'm excited to keep learning and to be able to divert those funds into the staff, because, and to get to publish more new books and all that, because that's the, you know, that's the whole reason you get into this job. And like at my level in this job, it's like my life is stable. I grew up on very little money. Like, I understand living within my means. I'm able to do that. So I don't need those kind of life, I don't know, comforts. Like, I'm more of a, like, okay, well, like, this is the next stage. Like, I want to learn some new stuff. I want to be a little more well-oiled. I want to, you know, keep doing what we're doing well. I don't want to, you know, have outside ownership. I don't want to, you know, do things that are outside of our core competencies. I want to do what we're good at and, you know, do it in a way that it makes everybody's life a little bit easier. Customers, staff, authors alike.
And keep publishing awesome books.
Yes. Well, this has been episode 44 of A People's Guide to Publishing.
Thank you for listening.
I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, founder and CEO of Microcosm Publishing, and the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, which I do not have a copy of because it is reprinting right now. And
here's a book.
This is what a book looks like.
Mm-hmm. We make books.
This is a Brazilian Portuguese edition of Ellie's book, Bikeonomics.
It's really cool. Check it out. I don't know if that actually shows you anything. Come check it out at our store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ellie Blue. I am... I used to play an economist on the internet, and now I'm the vice president of special paperwork projects here at Microcosm.
Till next week, on episode 45, when we talk about something else.
Visit us at microcosmpublishing.com.
Thanks so much for joining us once again on People's Guide to Publishing, the podcast. I am your host, Joe Beal, the autistic publisher.
I'm Ellie Blue, the editor who doesn't pay attention to commas.
And please send us your questions so we can answer them on future episodes. And please, please do give us those reviews on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed. 5 stars, if you please. And have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You can find us on the internet at microcosmpublishing.com or microcosm.pub if you want to keep it short and simple. You can also find us on Twitter at microcosm, on Facebook at microcosm publishing, on Instagram at microcosm_pub, and here in Portland on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.